As we go through the book of Galatians, you hopefully have discovered a phenomenal freedom that God has given to you as you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Last week we ended by speaking very firmly that the Lord said that those who walk according to the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we want to be clear here that there is no middle ground. God's people are going to walk in the Spirit. If they don't, you have to consider whether the person is a believer or not. In fact, it says here in this passage you just read, those who belong to the Lord have crucified the flesh. So it's important for you to understand that. That if you belong to Jesus Christ, you've given your life to Him, you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the way you operate, the way you walk, the way you think, the way you progress in your life is going to be by the enabling and power of the Holy Spirit. The flesh, on the other hand, is everything that's sinful, things that do not come from God, and they are not of the Lord. So it's very important for you to understand that. So as we move into a passage that most people, most Christians, are familiar with at least, and certainly here, we're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As we do that, I just want to point to that one word, the fruit of the Spirit. First, it is singular. It's important. There are nine elements of this fruit, but it's singular. It's not multiple. Second of all, it is fruit. In case you don't know what that means, you know, those of us that grew up in big cities, and I'm not thinking Houston is one of those, because even though you live in Houston, and I do, of course, there's still a lot of farms nearby, you know. 10 minutes, one direction, I'm in the middle of some pasture land. Across the street from where we live, there are horses and cows. And then 20 minutes later, I can be in downtown Houston. I love that. That's a great life to live. It's so much better than New York, where it's like, you drive like 30 minutes, you're still stuck in concrete. You know, I haven't seen a tree yet. This is good. But in our backyard, borrowers kind of posting it on Facebook. About 3-4 years ago, I planted 2 tangerine trees. One of them kaput, you know, just wiped out. The cold was too much in one winter. But the other one, this year, wow, it's all over the place. You know, I got tangerines everywhere. And we're so excited about it. I was told by somebody here, don't cut it to January. So I'm going to hold on, okay? I want to make sure it's great. But it's tangerines. So should I expect tangerines to come off my tangerine tree? Of course, right? That's not a smart thing. But what if I say, you know what? Let me see about my tangerine tree and see if I get some apples and peaches and grapes and stuff, right? That doesn't work. Because it's only tangerines that will come out of there. So we need to understand what a fruit is. A fruit comes from this tree. The fruit of the Spirit, it is one fruit, it is not multiple fruits. Now, sure, in the tangerine, that tangerine has peels. It, I think, has some seeds. I wish it didn't, but it does. It's got little things I could eat, right? I don't know, juice and all that. It's all a part of this tangerine. It is the fruit. It is the fruit of that tree. And so if you are of God, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God has come into your life, you are to bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's how it ought to be. Now, that's not to say you are suddenly perfect and you don't sin. No, no. But you cannot be living in sin. You cannot be walking by the flesh. You cannot be doing those kind of things continuously because the Spirit of God in you will not allow that to happen. It may take you a little time to develop, just like my tangerine tree. You know, it took a little time before the fruit came out like that. But it is going to bear fruit. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand what that fruit is. I divided it up into kind of 3 parts, and it's not necessarily that these are the way it ought to be, but 9 elements of the fruit of the Spirit will be a long message. Today, I want to share with you the first 3. And these are really precious. So the fruit of the Spirit is, first of all, love. Now, in case you don't know already, I think most of you in church circles, you already know the word love is not love, 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 love. English is just love. But in the Greek word, there are multiple. There are three kind of loves. This one is agape. This is God's love. This is the unconditional love. This is the love that is not emotional. It is not loving just your sibling or something like that. It is not a spousal love. This is God's love, agape love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What does that mean? All right? If you are living by the Spirit, you need to exhibit love. This is what it ought to be. When you are bearing the fruit from the Spirit of God, you have to exhibit this kind of love. It is not an emotional love. It is not a feeling love. It might elicit some feelings, emotions at times, but most of the time it's not. Because you need to understand what this love is. It's not, oh, I feel so good love. And we go through scriptures, you can find this love all over the Bible. The agape love, for instance, the one that we probably all memorized, and that is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's not an emotional feeling. For God so loved the world, he loves us because it's an unconditional love, and this love leads to something. Now, one of the things you need to understand about the fruit of the Spirit is this. When the fruit is born in you, it takes over your attitude, your motivation, your inside, but always it comes out. There is always actions to the fruit of the Spirit. It is not just something that's in here. It is always touching because we are made as people that touch other people. And that's how the fruit of the Spirit will exhibit itself. So love is there. God loves, so he sent his son. There are other places, 1 John 3:16, another the different one. 1 John, it says, greater love have no man than this, that he laid down his life. See, this is what love is about. Love is about sacrificing, having a deep inside sense of who God is, and the Spirit of God giving us this unconditional sense of loving other people that we are willing to sacrifice. And if we really love, we are going to go to a place where we will sacrifice even our lives. That's what the fruit of spirits. And so when somebody's walking around, they're just all selfish through and through. Again and again and again. That's not to say you can't be a carnal Christian for a while. Doesn't mean that you can't be a young Christian for a while. But if your life is full of yourself, and really, frankly, you love nobody. Maybe you have some emotional this and that. That's not the love we're talking about. We're talking about agape love. And you just have no sense of sacrificing for anybody else, to give of yourself to anybody else. You know what? It's hard to believe that you know the Lord. It's hard to believe that the fruit of the Spirit of God is in you. And if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, what kind of fruit are you having? You have two choices. You walk by the Spirit, you walk by the flesh. If your demonstration of your life is always from the flesh, you really need to consider it. Whether you have given your life to Jesus Christ. Because you see, love, the love that comes from the Spirit of God is agape love. It is a love that sacrifices and gives. I was reminded actually last night, and I didn't do a research on it, so I don't know, but I remember reading a story about this young lady that was killed not too long ago. She was taken, I believe, in Syria. She was there to help a whole bunch of people there, you know, the hurting children, the refugees and so forth. And I believe this ISIS group came and took her. She's one of the captives. And she was kept for, I don't know, 18 months or something. And my apologies for not doing a thorough research on this, but I was so moved by this story. She was attacked in every way you can imagine. Young white woman from America. And there was an opportunity one time when she could have gotten out. She could have escaped with some bombing going on and so forth. But she was afraid that if she did that, she would cause a bunch of other ladies that she was working with, who was also captured, to suffer the consequences, allowing her to escape. So she stayed. And I thought, wait a minute. Is this a Christian? So I went in a little bit more. Sure enough, she was a person who loved God and loved Jesus, and was there and sacrificed her life for them. This is the kind of stuff that only comes when you walk by the Spirit. You do not do this when you're walking by the flesh. Because when you walk by the flesh, you are going to save yourself no matter what. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Agape love that gives. And you say, wait a minute, you know, maybe that's true, but you know, how many opportunities am I ever going to have to give my life to someone else? So does that mean I can never prove love? Oh, no. You see, it's not just giving your life. How about giving something? We talk about Gracewood. You know, all these broken families, children. We have great opportunities to help them. You know, you say, well, I don't have a lot of money. You have some. I don't have a lot of time. You have some. You can go there and do something when we have an event here. It's not just Gracewood. There's dozens and dozens of other things that you encounter every day, every week, where you have an opportunity to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit of love. Can you do that? Will you do that? See, if you walk by the Spirit, you will. You look for that. Because that's what you do. You know, that's what you do. That tangerine is going to taste like a tangerine. It's going to be sweet. It's sour. Whatever it is that. That's what you do. If you're a Christian, born again, believer in Jesus Christ, you're walking by the Spirit, you're going to love. You're going to love. That's not all you would do. The second thing is joy. Interesting. You say, what kind of joy are we talking about? We're not just talking about being happy, you know. I got to tell you, you know, some later on, football games are going to be played, and certain football players are going to have touchdowns, and I'm going to be shouting, yes, I got him, you know, because, you know, I'm in fantasy football. Others are going to give me sadness. That's not what this joy is talking about. This is not that kind of joy. The word here in Greek is the word chara, chara. That word joy throughout the Bible is always related to a deep spiritual joy. It is not like I won the lottery joy. It is not like, you know, I had a straight A joy. No, it's not that kind of joy. It's a deep joy. In fact, you can look through it and you find this word one particular place in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, where it talks about us looking to Jesus and it says, For the joy set before him. This kara, the word, he went to the cross. So you know it's not a joy that says you just won something, you just escaped something, you just been free from something. It is a joy that is deep, deep rooted. It is a spiritual joy to know that you know God and that your life is there. See, when you have this kind of joy, it doesn't matter what happens in life. It doesn't matter whether it is so exciting, so good, everything you wish for came true, or everything you wish for did not come true. It does not matter, because this is a kara joy. It is a deep-rooted joy that goes deep inside with the knowledge that you know Jesus Christ and your name is written in the book of life and the Spirit of God gives you that joy. That's what it is. If you have never experienced a joy like that, you need to know it comes from nowhere else but the Spirit of God. And that's why walking by the Spirit is so different than the world. The world focuses on everything else, all these other things that mean absolutely nothing. And so for a person to have joy, it doesn't mean that I have to be ear-to-ear grinned. It doesn't mean that, oh my goodness, everything good happens to us. Let me tell you, sometimes the Christian faith in some of the Christian circles, and I don't believe in here, but certainly many other churches, it focuses on that. You know, that's what it means when God gives you joy. He's going to give you prosperity, you know. He's going to fix that situation. You're never going to be sick. You're never going to have all these problems. That is so full of it. It's not it. It's not true. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. When it says that, it is kara, the deep sense of spiritual joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And so you have love, you're going to sacrifice yourself, you're going to care about people, you're going to give of the Lord, you're full of this joy. This all comes from the Spirit of God. It is not something that happens because of circumstances. And the third part today I want to share with you is the fruit of the Spirit is peace. The Greek word here is the word irene. My granddaughter's middle name is Irene, and this is what it comes from. It means peace. In case you don't know what peace is, it's not that there's no war. It's not that there's no struggles. One of the shows that Barbara and I like to see, one of the reality shows, is Survivor. It's, I think, the first reality show ever. It's interesting. I follow here and there. I know a few here and there. Not too much, but they have these things called challenges. Some of you know what they are. There's a lot of these challenges. Some of them are really physical. Some of them you got to be really smart. Whatever it is. And if you win a challenge, you can have a lot of food they give you. Or you can have what is called immunity. And that is you can't be voted out that week. So it's really a big deal. But one of the challenges that happens that they put out there is are puzzles. You know, you got to put puzzles pieces together. So you get all these pieces, however they get them, whether it's swimming out to find them or whatever, right? You get all these puzzle pieces together, and you got to put them all together. And as the teams are going at it, you know, you see the strain and the stress and the nervousness. It's like they're freaking out. You know, they're trying to put these things together. But when all the pieces are put together by one of the teams, peace. They got it. They won it. That's what Irene means. It means that somebody's got it together. God has it together. You don't have to worry about anything because God has it together. You might not know it. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You know, it's not told you. It's not guaranteed you by anybody. But God has it together. That's what peace is about. God has it together. And when you walk by the Spirit, you see, you know God has it together. That's why you have peace. So everything around you, the circumstance of your life is just tumultuous. It's going crazy, you know. You can imagine the Apostle Paul as he's there and the sword is over his neck, you know. And there is Peter as he's hung upside down on the cross. There are all these Christians in the Colosseum with their family, little children. They're grabbing onto them as they release the lions. As they are in the Middle East and they're saying, you are a Christian, we are going to execute you. All these... God's got it together. Doesn't look like it. But the Bible says God's got it together. That's what peace is. And so how do you live that out? You live that out as the Spirit of God puts it in your heart. And that's why those who walk by the Spirit are not going to be freaking out over things. That doesn't mean that we have to have a certain personality. No, some of us are going to be a little bit more uptight than others. You know, we have personalities that are different. But if you have the peace of God in your life, see, you know he's got it together. So you say, well, I'm pretty good at love. I'm not any good at peace. No. That doesn't work that way. The fruit of the Spirit is one. There are nine things, and we'll talk about the other six the next two, couple weeks from now and another week. But the fruit is one. You see, when you live by the Spirit, there's no sweat. Because you don't do it, because we can't do it. I think one of the struggles we have today in the Christian community is that we are trying exactly like the Galatians Christians were doing. We're trying to take away from God. The Christian life. We're trying to say we can develop that Christian life. And you know, I'm not against all these theological studies and majors these days, but we're focused so much on how the world would do these things. I want to tell you, sure, there are medical issues. Sure, sir, there are family issues. Sure, there's history issues. There are things that happened to our lives long time ago. But if we allow the Spirit of God to take control of us, I want to tell you, you discover love like you never knew before. You discover what it means to have a deep sense of joy in your heart, regardless of the bad situations happening. And oh my goodness, you know what? You're going to be able to go to sleep at night because you know somebody, and his name is Jesus. He's got it all together. I hope that for you, and I wish that for you. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you. Lord, would you teach us to walk by the Spirit? Oh, Lord God, would you take us from focusing on ourselves, doing things as the world would do, allow us, Lord, to learn of you, to know that the Spirit of the living God can do great and awesome things. Oh, Father, today I pray that in this room, every single person here would have that relationship with you, Lord Jesus. And if not, before he or she steps out of this door, these doors, Lord, they would do that. They would surrender their lives to you. And ask that the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings will become their Lord. Spirit of the living God, I pray that you convict us of our hearts, in our hearts, of the things of our lives. Lord, that we will surrender ourselves to you, that we will make a choice to walk